some gravy in your ear. This is Wavy Gravy, Temple of Accumulated Error and Voice of Woodstock, telling you you are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The 90s are the 60s, standing on your head. Yow!
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Transpositive PDX on KBOO Radio here in Portland, Oregon. My name is Jean Bryant. I'm one of the regular co-hosts. I use she and her pronouns. And we also have with us co-hosting tonight, Emma and Nicolette, and I'll let you introduce yourselves.
All right, well, my name is Nicolette and I use and am pronouns.
And my name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
Okay, this evening we are honored to have with us Jackie Thornhill and Bridget Sampson, who have launched a project that they've titled Transgender School, and we'll be allowing them to describe their project for us and kind of give us information about where they're going with all of that. And with that, I would ask you, Jackie, to introduce yourself with your pronouns, should you choose, and then give us a little bit of a background on your credentials and what you're going to bring to the project.
Yeah, my name's Jackie. I'm glad to be here today. Thanks, Jean. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And I work for the city of San Francisco right now, and I have worked previously on a variety of political campaigns at the local, state, and federal level. So that's my background. And I'm glad to be here today to talk about Transgender School, which is a relatively new project that my mom and I have been working on, and that I think has a lot of potential to really help people.
Thank you, Jackie. Bridget?
Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for having us on your radio show. We're very honored. I'm Bridget Sampson. I am Jackie's very proud mom. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And as Jackie said, yeah, we recently started Transgender School to help people learn about diverse transgender experiences and identities. And I'm also a retired professor emeritus. I mean, I still work. I still do training and lots of other things, but you know, Transgender School is a big passion project right now.
Okay, and what discipline was your academic background?
Sure, yeah, I taught communication studies courses for 28 years at California State University Northridge, and retired about 2 years ago from that.
Wonderful, thank you. So with that, can you please give us a general overview of transgender school, how you chose to undertake the project in the first place, and kind of what's your mission statement? What are your objectives for the project?
Do you want to start, Jackie?
Yeah, I'll start, and then you can add anything that I might have missed. So if I remember correctly, it was kind of an evolution toward getting to this point. It all started back a few years ago when I came out to my mom as transgender, and we had a bit of a rocky start. My parents didn't react as well as I would have liked them to, but we grew a lot together. My mom really committed to educating herself, to diving into the literature and learning a lot about transgender identities and experiences. And at some point along that, she became not just an ally, but an advocate herself for transgender people in her career in corporate coaching and all of those things. And I remember she had me come give a couple talks at a couple different workshops she was hosting about queer issues, about trans issues. And I think it kind of evolved from there. And one day she said, why don't we make this a real official thing? Why don't we start putting out content regularly, give it a name, call it Transgender School, and do everything we can to help make sure that other people, especially other families out there, can have a smoother experience coming out and transitioning than we did.
Yeah, thank you, Jackie. Good description. And I would add to that, we like to share our vision for a transgender school, and the vision is saving lives, keeping families together, and making school, work, and all spaces safe for transgender people. So that's what we're working toward. And our mission, I know, is more about what exactly do we do. There's so much to it. And so I would say we design and offer courses as well as mass amounts of free content to educate people on how to be better allies and advocates for transgender people.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Nicolette.
Okay. So I was hoping to ask, like, what media platforms are you using? Who's your target audience? And what kinds of things do you plan to educate them about?
We're on Twitter, Facebook, pretty much every social media platform. I think my mom recently created a TikTok for us. She can speak to the TikTok. I haven't been on that one yet. Our target audience at this point is really broad. It's anyone who might have a trans person in their life, which is pretty much anyone, because even if people don't think they know a trans person, they probably know someone who's not out to them. So we're trying to reach as many people as we possibly can at this point, and we're glad to work with whatever specific groups or organizations we can, and partner with other creators and other people with diverse experiences to reach different specific audiences as we grow our platform.
And I would just add to that, part of our community also includes a good number of transgender people, even though our primary mission is educating allies, advocates, family members, loved ones, teachers, you know, people who are interacting with transgender people so that they can be as supportive as possible. Our Facebook group is a very, I think close and loving and wonderful community, and many transgender people are now in the group and share their experience and also find support, especially from Jackie, who shares a lot of her experience there. And I see a lot of transgender people reaching out to Jackie because she's a good role model for being honest about the struggles and also, sharing how she's overcome many of the, not overcome the challenges, but how she faces the challenges head on and speaks confidently about what transgender people should be demanding as far as their rights. You know, she's very, very politically active, very outspoken. And I think she draws transgender people to her who want to join in that with her and with us.
So my question is, I was wondering if Jackie, you could tell us a little bit about your coming out story.
Yeah, so we've talked about this a lot through Transgender School. It's a really core part of our mission, because when I came out, my parents didn't react in an ideal way. They could have reacted worse, but basically first person I came out to was a partner, an ex-partner, was quickly outed to a couple other people via that person against my
without my consent. And so basically I was kind of forced, for lack of a better term, to come out to my parents. So it wasn't something I wanted to do at the time, but I did. And I remember the initial reaction that my mom had was, oh, do you mean you're gay? Or you mean you're, I said, I'm confused about my gender identity. You mean your sexual orientation? No, my gender identity. So it took a little bit from there, but my mom really was the one who did that 180 first and pulled everyone else along with her and made sure that everyone else in the family was reading the right materials to understand why they needed to be supportive, using my correct name and pronouns and everything. So it was a rocky start, but we really turned it around pretty quickly, and I feel very lucky for that.
Well, thank you. And Bridget, would you like to tell your version of your daughter's coming out story, like as the experience from your perspective?
Yeah, I like to share that, you know, it was such a complete shock and it was unexpected, because I think a lot of people misunderstand and think that you would have had all these signs. You know, she was 19, and there, from what we could tell, there had been no signs. And people think, oh, well, if your child is transgender, they probably wanted to wear dresses when they were three. And we didn't have any of that. Jackie presented very stereotypically male, as the culture would prescribe. And so my husband and I were just completely shocked. We couldn't wrap our heads around it. I completely knew and understood and had been teaching in my courses the differences and the definitions between sexual orientation and gender identity. But when Jackie told me, it was so shocking, and I was so unable to wrap my head around it, that was my really ignorant response. You must mean sexual orientation. I could understand that you could be gay, but so it was just a complete shock. And I, looking back, I just see how uninformed I was, how uneducated, even though I saw myself as someone who's educated. And I think in that initial conversation, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything challenging in that initial conversation, because I was terrified that she might be suicidal. And I said to her, are you safe? Are you thinking of harming yourself? Can I fly there immediately? Because we're in the opposite, you know, kind of 6 hours away in the same state in California. And she assured me that she was safe and she wasn't planning to harm herself. So once I understood that, you know, and realized that she was okay, I started to challenge her in the subsequent conversations and say, how could this be if we didn't have any signs? And are you sure? Could it be something else? All the things I now beg and counsel parents not to say, literally, and that I am very eager to teach. Don't say, is it a phase? Please don't say, you know, all of these ridiculous things that we now know the percentages of people who actually come out and say they're transgender and go back on that in anywhere, tiny, 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 less than half of 1%, right? So I now remember all of that with such regret and such a different perspective, hindsight, the cliche of 2020, you know. Jackie asked me, I remember in one of the early phone calls, will you ever see me as your daughter? And probably my whole life, if there's one word I could ever take back, it would be my answer to that question on that day.
Yeah. Wow. I just can't imagine what it would be like to have like a professor mom who like already knows all the terminology. It just proves that, like, you know, when it happens to you, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
That's a great story, both exactly. of you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that.
You've already mentioned, you know, several different content pieces and platforms that you're utilizing. Can you describe, you know, how you're putting together the schools? Is it exclusively online? Are there in person things? You've already mentioned incidentally that both of you are in California. I assume San Francisco and Los Angeles. You know, how are you putting this thing together? What are the pieces?
Yeah, right now it's all online. A large part of that is because of the pandemic. I think we talk a lot about how we wish we could get together and film things in person together, and how it limits our ability to be creative and to create the variety of content that we would like to have to do it all over Zoom. But we're making do with what we can given the circumstances. So we're doing webinars, we're trying to grow an audience on social media, we're trying to put out content on YouTube. We've been creating video content, doing weekly live Q&As on our Facebook page. Just trying to reach people in as many ways as possible. And I really wanted to echo what my mom said about the Facebook group. At first, I was kind of skeptical that it would be much of anything, but it's already grown to, I think, 500 or almost 500 mm-hmm. people in a short amount of time. And so many trans people, so many family members and loved ones of trans people in there seeking support, supporting each other. It's a really beautiful thing. And I hope we can continue to grow that. And I would love to do in-person events and in-person things as soon as we can, whenever that's safe to do so.
Yeah. Oh, I would add one thing, Jackie, I think we may have forgotten to say, is that we're starting a podcast.
Yes.
So I have a podcast for my business. And so I learned how to do a podcast. So I thought, well, why don't we do one too? So, but the truth is that, you know, Jackie and I both work very much full-time plus. And so we're really trying to figure out where we can best put our time and energy and dollars, honestly. Like, you know, we're investing a lot in many ways. So we decided to just do a monthly podcast. So we hope people will be patient with us and stick with us. Yeah, because I know doing one that's bi-weekly for my other endeavor, it's quite a time commitment. Mm-hmm. But we are committed to doing a monthly podcast. We did do our first episode. It will be called, like everything else, Transgender School, to make us easy to find. And it'll be on all the major podcast apps released on February 2nd. And every Tuesday of the month.
Thank you.
That's actually a good segue. I would like to give you, you know, multiple opportunities during this, you know, the show to be, you know, a little more specific as to how folks can reach your different platforms. So why don't you go kind of down your list? Where do they go exactly to find you?
Go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, you can go ahead. I think you have this memorized a little better than I do.
Yeah, no, Jackie, tell me if I forget anything or you want to add anything. But I think I did a lot of this setting up. We did it together, but, you know, again, Jackie has a lot going on and she's also does a lot of volunteer work. So I'm trying to do the busy work and really bring her in, you know, when we want to reach out to people. So we have everything is called Transgender School. Everything. So wherever platform you're on, please just search Transgender School as one word. We have a Facebook page where we have a live stream every Saturday at 4:00, and all of those are saved there. So you can see all our previous ones. The ones that have been so popular so far are Jackie's grandparents came on, my parents. They were amazing and beautiful. So many of my friends said they cried when they watched that. People in their 70s learning to embrace their transgender granddaughter and all that they've learned. My partner, I want to use inclusive language. I'm still learning. My partner, my spouse, Neil, came on our live stream yesterday and was so beautiful and loving about how Jackie's transition, how much he's learned from her and how much he's grown as a person from the experience. So that a lot of people are wanting to see that. Those are all just available for anybody to watch on Transgender School Facebook page. And Jackie and I have done a few on our own now and just talked about all of the things that we like to teach and share. So Facebook page, Facebook group. The Facebook group is private, so we make sure that it's a safe space. So if people want to join, we have to check out their, you know, check them out before, because we want it to be a safe space. We are on Instagram as Transgender School. We are on Twitter as, I think it's Transgender School slightly abbreviated without the two O's. On TikTok, we could only get Transgender School 1. What else? We have a YouTube page. Oh, and really the place, the biggest thing that I think we haven't said is our website. Is everything is there. The links to everything is on our website, which is transgenderschool.org and transgenderschool.org/ally for information about more of our offerings. So that's really the place I would say if you want to find out everything we have. All of the links are on our website. What did I leave out, Jackie?
No, that covers it. I was going to say the website, and then you came in at the end. Yeah, transgenderschool.org, all one word, and transgenderschool.org/ally.
Great. Just let everybody know you're listening to Transpositive PDX on KBOO Radio here out of Portland, Oregon. This evening we are speaking with Jackie Thornhill and Bridget Sampson, the mother-daughter team that is launching a transgender school. We'll get back to them in just a moment. Nicolette, would you like to ask Jackie and Bridget something? You've been quiet.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask about a couple topics that are important to me, especially because there's so much talk about them right now and so much controversy because there's a lot of misunderstanding and misinformation about them. The first one is, you know, lately there's been a lot of talk about transgender kids, especially trans kids under 18, because there's, you know, a lot of misinformation that these kids are getting surgeries and getting hormones other than puberty blockers. So I was wondering, have you addressed this in your project, or do you plan to, and how would you go about addressing it?
Yeah, so actually, sorry, apologies for the noise. My cat is scraping in his litter box.
That was my cat.
But this is a super important topic. Thank you for bringing it up. So actually, just during our last live stream yesterday, every week we bring up a current event, which I usually try to make really policy related as far as transgender civil rights go, particularly in the United States. And yesterday during our live stream, we discussed two bills that have been introduced in the Montana legislature doing exactly what you said, targeting transgender youth, both in terms of access to medical care, so the care they would need to transition, and access to high school sports. And I think that this is really going to be the front line of the fight for transgender civil rights in the United States over the coming years. I think with Republican shutout of power at the federal level, we're going to see more and more Republican-controlled state legislatures, which were basically forced out of bathroom bills by corporations who threatened to leave their states, resorting to these more UK-style targets on younger trans kids. And unfortunately, that's ultimately probably going to get litigated up to a 6-3 very conservative Supreme Court. So yeah, it's going to be a really concerning few years ahead for trans civil rights in the U.S., and particularly for transgender kids, which is really heartbreaking because we know that this directly leads to increases in suicide, increases in mental health struggles, and it directly leads to more parents not accepting their kids when it's normalized in the culture and having these laws that don't validate people's identities and that don't acknowledge them for who they are.
And I just want to say that in our Facebook live stream, which we do every week and everyone can see, the beginning of it is always us reporting the news on the transgender rights front. So we start every week, every Saturday. And I know some people have told me they come especially for that. So we have kind of the, you know, the people piece where we share our story and we have the news piece. And Jackie always clearly is the one to share the news. She's, you know, her major in college, she double majored in politics and philosophy, and she's done a lot for her young age. She has done some amazing things in the political arena, including, you know, a congressional campaign and much more. So she's very up, very aware of what's happening in the political world, and she keeps us all informed. So yes, that is very much going to continue to be a centerpiece of what we do in transgender school.
Yes, yeah. We've followed that same basic format approach on our show off and on over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are times and there are times. I would make this one observation. One of the things that is nuanced, but it's very real, and it's difficult to maintain a separation because it's such a gray area. But there's a difference between a support group and a political action committee. Mm-hmm. And they conflate. It's very difficult in this subject matter. Nicolette, did you have another follow-on question?
Yeah. Well, if I can continue, I had a couple questions. So another thing regarding trans kids, there's also, you know, this big misconception that children can't possibly understand gender and know what their gender is. Which we know is false. I know I've known I was trans since I was like 5. So what would you say to people who have that misconception?
I would say to anyone who is doubting a trans person, I promise you, they have thought about this more than you have. They have lived their entire life in their body, feeling the way they feel about their body, knowing what they know about themselves. Just trust them. The same way you would get offended if somebody doubted something that is integral to your identity. If you told someone where you work and they said, is that really where you work though? I don't know if I believe you. Don't doubt someone when it comes to something about themselves. They trust that that person knows themselves best.
If I could ask about one more thing and then I'll let you two take over. So this is another thing that's very important to me specifically, and there's a lot of controversy about it going on right now. We now know that gender is a spectrum. There's more than just male and female, but a lot of people are still having a hard time grasping that and understanding that. Have you addressed that as well, or do you plan to, and how would you educate people about that?
Yeah, it's really important to us specifically as people who do identify as binary. I mean, I may be trans, but I ultimately identify as a binary trans woman. And obviously my mom identifies as a binary cisgender woman. It's really important for us to make sure that in our language and when we're talking about trans identities that we're very inclusive of non-binary people, genderqueer people, of everybody on that gender spectrum, because like you said, it is a spectrum, and our goal is to, like I said, partner with creators and other trans people with a variety of experiences all along that spectrum to get their stories out as we continue to grow our platform and have those opportunities.
Yeah, there's someone in our group who I chat with, you know, just privately one-on-one, who identifies as bi-gender, and I've learned a lot from them about, you know, how people can feel like they are equally both gender, or I don't know that equally, I take out the word equally, but they feel they are both genders. And so I think I'm just beginning to understand and start to understand. I'm sure it'll be a project for my entire lifetime, but that gender spectrum.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your last statement, Bridget, that it's a lifetime project. There, especially since we've kind of cast our net so widely in terms of, and I appreciate your background in communications. Trans is, I suppose, not really an identity per se. Mm-hmm. It's a descriptor of a coalition, a broad umbrella statement. There's a lot there to unpack. And especially for those that would be allies. Mm-hmm. So language plays such a huge role in how we are struggling to communicate. Yes. Our lived experiences, our self-actualizations. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's just, there's so much there to unpack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So with that, I would hope, Bridget, that you might share maybe a little perspective from your professional academic background. As specializing in communications. Mm-hmm. And then Jackie, I would love to, when Bridget is done with that, both of you to address kind of how you really chose to come to team up on this and utilize your mutual skills and all of that to really frame this project.
Thank you, Jean. Yeah, well, I will say about my teaching career, I was, first of all, I was a lecturer. I was part-time because I taught for so many years, I was able to apply for the emeritus status and had the equivalent of, you know, teaching full-time, and was very honored to receive that status. And as someone who taught communication studies courses for 28 years, my focus was always very much on social justice and on the practical application of communication theory. So I taught public speaking, intercultural communication, organizational communication, and interpersonal communication primarily. Those were the courses I taught mostly over the years. And one of my, I would say, you know, the one that I was most passionate about probably was intercultural communication. And Jackie, you know, it's so lovely and amazing as an, you know, having an adult child now, that I brought Jackie to class with me quite a bit. You know, I mean, I think from the time she was 10 years old, because she was always, she didn't, you know,
you weren't,
she
always
was a
glad
rebel.
You brought me though.
Yeah, right. She, as long as she would say, oh, sure, I'll come. And sometimes it was like, I'll buy you a piece of pizza during the break to get her to come, you know, in the student cafeteria, right? Whatever it took. But looking back, those experiences that we shared, I think make a big difference in our relationship now, because she understands me as Professor Sampson as well as mom, you know, and what my passion was teaching. And so, you know, I remember she came to a course, one of the classes, when one of my colleagues, who is just a phenomenal, amazing speaker and educator on racism, came. And she, this woman, Lauren Niles, shout out if you ever, you know, could want a speaker who will just blow your mind, because she grew up in the segregated South and remembers when she was 10 years old, the Civil Rights Act being signed, and how she, the day before, she couldn't get ice cream in her local ice cream shop, and the next day could. If you can imagine the stories this woman has. And I said, Jackie, you have got to come to class with me when my friend Lauren is coming to my intercultural communication class to talk about racism, the roots of racism and oppression, and her experience in the world. That she's so brilliant. I'm sure you remember that, Jackie, even though it was many years ago. And so we've had these experiences together, and Jackie was very much aware of, and also my work for the Educational Opportunity Program. So I also was the coordinator and facilitator trainer for a lot of the training for staff and student mentors in the Educational Opportunity Program at my university, which is the program in the Cal State University system that serves first generation, historically low income, you know, educationally disadvantaged students. So I taught in that program for over 10 years. I did training in that program, was one of a tiny handful of white people in the program, for, I think, obvious reasons, because most white people, you know, can't and shouldn't be trusted in a program like that with students like that. I'll say that very boldly, because I had to do the work of learning about my own racism and how to be an anti-racist, despite knowing I will always be a racist because I'm white and I'm privileged and I was, you know, immersed in that cultural mindset. So you know, all of this is to say that was those were my areas of focus as an educator, was always about, in my classes, infusing lessons on oppression, racism, and LGBTQ rights and awareness. All of that was part of it, and Jackie was exposed to all of that from a very young age. So how do I bring that to transgender school? I think I'm just navigating that and figuring that out. I mean, Jackie has surpassed me by leaps and bounds as an activist. I would have always said, I'm an activist, I'll be out there marching, I'll be out there fighting for the cause, whatever it is. But Jackie's just taken that to all new levels in all the work that she does in her career, in her volunteer work. She's a leader in the Harvey Milk Democratic Club in San Francisco. Her position is the political affairs. So, you know, so I think at this beginning stage of transgender school, we're both navigating how are we bringing all of this of our life experience and our work to this project. And we're figuring it out, and we will continue to figure that out.
Yeah, and then regarding the question about how we actually came to this point where we decided to get together and start this project, I do think it was you, Mom, who came to me first and said, do you want to do this? Do you want to start an educational program, basically? And I had to think about it. I wasn't 100% sure at first. I was already really committed at the time, between work and political things and volunteering with Democratic clubs and everything that I do. I really wasn't sure that I had the time or the energy. I wanted to do it right. But I decided to do it. I decided to take a leap of faith and go for it. And I was really, really glad that I did, because the reception that we've gotten, the people who we've interacted with as we've grown our audience, have made it really clear to me how many people are out there who can use this support, and how many people are out there who don't really know what to think about trans people and are just kind of out there waiting for either right-wing conservative media to get to them or someone like us to get to them. And so I've been really motivated since starting this project to move forward with it and to grow it as much as we can. But yeah, it was my mom. I will give her credit. It was her who called me up and was like, hey, I have this crazy idea. I know it sounds like a lot of work, but hear me out. And I'm really glad I said yes.
What a great mom, and what a great ally. What a great ally. We are speaking with Jackie Thornhill and Bridget Sampson, a mother-daughter team that has launched a project that they're calling Transgender School. And I would remind everyone that you're listening to Transpositive PDX on KBOO FM radio here in Portland, Oregon. Emma, you've been quiet. Do you have any questions that you'd like to pose?
How do you address this really complicated, you know, intersectional issue of race and, you know, gender identity in your work?
Well, I'd like to hear what Jackie has to say, but I think, oh, Jackie. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was on mute.
Did you want to go first?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember if the question was directed at both of us or a particular one.
It's both of you. Yes.
I think we had a conversation really early on in this project. I think you remember this conversation, Mom, where I said, "I'm like, at the end of the day, as much experience as I may have as trans woman, and as much as I may be able to share and educate people based on that, and as much experience as you may have as the mother of a trans woman." At the end of the day, we are two economically privileged white women, and we want to be very aware of that, and we want to be very intentional about not claiming to speak for people who we don't speak for, not claiming to speak for the entire trans community, being very upfront about the privileges that we do have, and making a commitment that we're not quite at that point yet, because we haven't scaled up to the point of actually being profitable in any way or even covering the money we've put into this. But once we get to that point, we're 100% committed to bringing on people with more diverse experiences and identities and partnering with them in a real partnership where it's even, and where we're sharing the benefits of this platform to elevate their voices and their experiences. And that's something that both of us have been 100% committed to since we first started this. So it's another reason to stay tuned for more content coming from people with a lot more to share about their experiences and a lot different experiences than we've had.
Yeah, I think Jackie described it perfectly, that, you know, and Emma, I think that everything you said, you know, would be what I would want to say. You said it so eloquently, you know, about that conflict and how do we represent diverse voices and perspectives and experiences and the intersectionality of race, class, race, gender, socioeconomic status, educational, you know, all of the things that can be factors that cause people to be marginalized and experience multiple forms of marginalization. So you put it all perfectly. And I think our strategy or way of addressing that is really not to address it ourselves, as Jackie said, because we can't speak to it, but to bring people into our discussions who can speak from their own experience. And we are absolutely going to do that. And we absolutely have many people in our community who can do that. And it is a matter of, as you said, Emma, you know, being like, it's tough because, you know, how do you go to someone and say, well, we'd like to invite you on our show because you're Black and you're trans? You know what I mean? Like, I'm conflicted about all of this. There's great cognitive dissonance around all of it because I think that we have to find ways to do this that are, you know, like everyone's talking about the difference between being welcoming and being inclusive. And it's not enough to be welcoming. I heard a diversity trainer recently give the analogy of, and I'm a vegan, you know, and the analogy that you can say, oh, sure, come on over to dinner, you're welcome. But if you're serving meat, you're not really including me, you're welcoming me. So how do we, I think until Jackie and I are really ready to come from the space of inclusion and inviting people and offering the platform and making sure that it is a place of total and complete inclusion and understanding and not just welcoming and come on in and then, you know, not really, really embodying that, we have to really do the work to figure out how we do that. Because we don't want to be part of the problem by just bringing, you know, tokenism, you know, tokenism is a form of racism, just inviting one person, you know, and not really including and just welcoming instead of actually including. So I'm very, very aware of these challenges. And I've learned so much from my years working with the Educational Opportunity Program and understanding the challenges of building trust as a privileged white woman, privileged cisgender, you know, heteronormative. You know, Jackie has helped me understand that I am transphobic and that I am cisnormative. And so I'm constantly aware of that I'm coming from that place and I am racist. So how do we, you know, open those conversations and those doors without in any way bringing those systemic racism, sexism, transphobia into that?
Mm-hmm. I would like to make an observation here. I have explored a lot of the content that Jackie and Bridget have put up thus far. And, you know, acknowledging that, you know, transgender school is a work in progress. You're really just now getting this thing set up. So there's still a lot of work to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I make this observation in what I have seen in terms of content, and especially like on your web page, tremendous list of resources. All of your little pieces of platform are beautifully cross-linked, and that you're clearly making an effort as you build for that level of inclusiveness. Nicolette, did you have any other question that you'd like to pose?
Yeah. So. I thought of this, you know, when Emma was talking about white passing privilege, another type of passing privilege that, you know, specifically applies to the trans community is cis passing privilege, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to recognize that that is something that alters my experience as a trans person. I, you know, even though I may not necessarily pass as the gender I identify as, if there is a way to pass as non-binary, you know, I do look like a cis person. People mm-hmm. can't tell that I'm trans just by looking at me. They don't know until I tell them. And I recognize that that gives me a bit of privilege over people that are very visibly trans and, you know, may have to face open discrimination in public just because people can look at them and know that they're trans. So I think that this is an important topic to address as well. And I would like to know, you know, how do we go about this topic? How would you go about this topic in your content?
Yeah, it's such an important issue for trans people. I mean, just my own experience with it has varied so much because I did come out after. I don't know if I will ever feel like I'm perceived the way I want to be perceived, because I just wish I was born a cis woman. That's like how I feel at my core. I can't speak for other trans women, but personally, that's how I feel. So I've gotten to the point where I'm comfortable with, as long as I don't get misgendered, that's close enough. As whether or not someone clocks me as trans, as long as someone is gendering me correctly, then I'm comfortable with that. But I realize that that's a big privilege to get gendered correctly most of the time. And that's something that I try to recognize that I have, that not all trans people have, and that I remember not having when I was at a different point in my transition. And so I think that's a super important issue for us. I don't know if we've addressed passing directly yet, but I think it's a super important issue that we definitely will address and should address. Yeah.
And I just want to say, I really appreciate, I'm compelled to, you know, I'm really trying to find how I can learn more and more and more about our community and about the gender spectrum. And I'm learning a lot from people who aren't trying to pass and are very outwardly presenting as trans or as bigender. And to someone that I follow on Instagram, who I highly recommend following, is called, the Instagram page is called Break the Binary. And there's also Jacob Tobiah. And when the last time I was in San Francisco for Pride with Jackie, we went to a bar. Jackie's not big on going to bars, but we went for fun after Pride because all her friends were going. And I was, you know, I'm this person who grew up and wasn't exposed to a lot of this. So I was just in awe of all the people in the bar who were presenting very much both male and female. And so these people, and I don't know what their pronouns would be, but they, you know, presented like what we would see stereotypically beautifully gorgeous female, you know, with the hair and the makeup and the body and the dress, and then, you know, a beard, a big beard and mustache, and, you know, and leg hair and armpit hair, you know, showing out of their very feminine dress. And I was just gawking. I mean, I was just like, I loved it. I just was like, oh, I love this. And I don't know if that's inappropriate to say. what was the name of it? It's like a historic, it's like the first gay bar in San Francisco.
Yeah,
right?
It's actually really sad because I think you're talking about the Stud, closed? which is unfortunately closed. But for those of you who have heard of the Stud, who have been to San Francisco and have been there, please stay tuned, because I know a lot of the folks who own it, it's a collaborative, and they are committed to bringing it back when the pandemic is over. So hopefully it'll be back in a new form. But yeah, really historic, amazing bar that we were super lucky to have been able to go to. Yeah.
So anyway, my whole point of that was like, I completely understand, of course, of, you know, transgender people, the issue of passing and wanting to pass or not wanting to pass. And I just was so, you know, so moved by folks who were like, you know, not only am I not gonna worry about passing, but I'm gonna show you all my genderness. You know, I don't know how you even describe that, and like challenge the binary, just challenging the binary.
You have this amazing resource called Transgender School, this platform, and your multimedia. I mean, you're totally San Francisco. You're thinking about every aspect of it in California. And so you're building a following, you're building kind of a community. What kind of relationships are you having with those people in your community? And can you share maybe one or two of their, you've already shared one, but would you care to share any other stories of people from your community that you're really finding inspiring or, you know, interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I'll let my mom speak to some of the parents maybe that she's met, I'll speak to. I really didn't expect so many other trans people to join the group so quickly, but I've met other trans people from around the country in our Facebook group, and just talking to them about their experiences, trying to point them in the direction of any resources that they might be able to access if they're kind of earlier on and not sure what they want to do or need a little bit of help at that point. It's been a really amazing experience for me, and it just feels so great to connect with other trans people, even if it is all virtually at this point. I hope at some point we can begin to organize meetups or some sort of in-person component of it. But it's been a really amazing experience, and it's really motivated me to keep doing the work to build this platform and hopefully reach more people so that they have this safe, accepting place to connect with other trans people and allies.
Yeah, and I would say I've met a lot more parents. I already was in a very large community of parents because I'm very active in our support group, my support group in Los Angeles, and I'm a volunteer for the support group, and I do intake for new parents. So I talk to a lot of parents of trans kids, and just in the circles I'm in, but in the groups, the communities that we've created, the parents who come to me privately messaging or messaging even in the group are often parents whose kids just came out and they're in the very new stages of trying to understand. So it's been very meaningful. And I've been able to connect a lot of them with support, or we've been, Jackie and I both, because Jackie's so aware, get them connected with local support groups, PFLAG, you know, Trans Family SOS. There's so many amazing resources. So I've met so many more parents who are really distressed and in need of resources, and we've been able to help them with resources and just empathize with what they're going through, because I've been through it as well. But I have to say, honestly, for me, some of the people that have reached out, who've reached out to me, that I've been most moved by are transgender people who've reached out to me and said things like, I wish you were my mom, you know, and I just want to be everybody's mom, you know, now, not the mom I was when Jackie first came out, because Jackie could say the same thing about somebody else's mom who responded much more supportively in the beginning. But and one person in the group, some people in the group who've reached out to me are not out. And they share with me what it's like to know you're transgender and to not be out. And it's heavy for me. It weighs heavily on my heart. You know, a couple people who are presenting in their lives as male, fathers, husband, you know, I'm the father and spouse, and nobody knows. And like, I get it. Like, the world we live in and the environment they're in and the state they're in and the church community, whatever it is, I'm sorry, but you know, it's not safe to transition and be who. I my eyes have been opened to how many people really are transgender and how many people are not able to live as their true selves. And a good number of those people have reached out to me through our work and our groups, and that has probably hit me the hardest and the most, and I'm learning the most from them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess that begs a bit of a question then. Do you have any advice for people who are planning to come out but don't know how to go about it, and also for people who've just had a trans person in their lives come out to them? What advice would you give?
Yeah, for people who are planning to come out or considering it, you know, having been there myself, having talked to people who've been there, I would say, and it's kind of hard for me to say this because I came out to the person who I trusted the most at the time, and they outed me to other people, but I would say go with who you really trust, whether that's your partner, a parent, friend. Make sure that it's someone who you really trust, and make sure that you're very clear about what you want. Make sure that you're very clear about who you do or don't want them to tell, how you do or don't want to be addressed. And I would say, if you do have any trans people in your life, maybe consider making it them, because I think there is just a bit of a gap where people who are cisgender, people who aren't trans, unless they've been through this, unless they've been educated and exposed to a certain degree, that they may not get it, or they just won't get it in the same way. So if there's any way you have to reach other trans people, that would be my advice as well.
Yeah, and for people, I think, Nicolette, you also asked about people who someone in their life has come out to them, you know, and we, you know, Jackie and I, this is probably the primary area of where we want to teach, you know, and there's a lot to teach on that. And so, but the very first thing that we always say, and we've said many times, is just listen. And there's really nothing else to say other than, how can I support you? And thank you for trusting me. We have posts that say exactly that in our social media, because the biggest mistake is the things people say that do not need to be said and should not be said, very frankly. And that I have said, don't say anything. Just say, I support you. How can I support you? Thank you for trusting me. And just listen.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. I see by the clock on the wall that we need to bring this conversation to a close. I regret to have to say that, but we'll have you back again in the future. We have been speaking with Jackie Thornhill and Bridget Sampson. They are a mother-daughter team that has created what they've titled Transgender School. It's available on lots of different platforms. I would give you this last couple of minutes to remind folks where they can find you before we have to sign off.
Yeah, you can find us on pretty much every social media platform at Transgender School, all one word. And you can find us at transgenderschool.org, all one word, transgenderschool.org/ally.
Great. Thank you. It's been a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy that you were able to join us. I look forward to more content because I have joined your group and I've been finding all of your content to be well worth my time. Look forward to
that is high praise.
The project.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it. And I look forward to coming back in a year and sharing all that we've done.
Yay.
Yes, thank you so much. We really enjoyed this conversation, and we so appreciate you inviting us on your program. And we think what you're doing is so important and wonderful. And thank you for doing this.
And thank you both for joining us and having this conversation with us.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. With that, good night. This has been Transpositive PDX on KBOO Radio in Portland.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing forward discriminatory bills,
know this, these bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 and we need your support.